speak, think. T, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? K, is it kind? Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We thank you, Father, for your word there, Father, that you bring before us. We thank you for taking care of us this past week. Every person that's represented here in this church today here, Father, how you blessed each one of us, and that you've taken care of us and met our needs, provided workforce, and just for just all the aspects of life that you've given to us. And thank you for the breath of life that you've given to us this day, that we can be here. And we praise you for that. We praise you for your word that you've given to us. We ask now, Lord, that you would just help us as we learn here more about you and want to learn more about you, Father, and how we can just apply your word to our lives. And we just ask for your help. It's your word. You wrote it. You live with inside of us. And so, Father, we just ask now that you would just be with us and watch over us and take care of us, meet our needs here this next week coming up also. We ask you to be with the service to fall on. Father, if someone comes that doesn't know you as Savior, we ask your spirit would just tug at their heart, knock at their door, and ask, Lord, that you would just help them to see the light. And even, Father, we want to ask that you would just, this week here, Father, the men that we work around, that you would tug at their heart, that you would just work in them, Father, and help us to be an example to them, and that they would find you a Savior. So we hold that before you also. We thank you now and praise you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we were talking about how couples can stay close together. And last time we went over what happened with couples when they don't communicate. And we showed you from the Word how Isaac and Rebekah kind of drew away from one another, how they kind of took favoritism amongst their kids. And you could see just exactly what happens when they don't communicate. And so that's what we're talking about here, couples communicating. So we went over there, then what happens that when couples don't communicate. We showed you that. Now today, let's start off asking you a question. What keeps couples from communicating? What do you think it is? Give me your opinion. Well, you're laughing, Corb. What keeps couples from communicating? It is that is something, though, really, since you say that, you know, and I, it just hit me, you know, a big family, that's tough. That is something tough. You know, you almost have to set yourself a time where you and your wife can actually sit down and talk to one another. Because, I mean, it's a that would be a constant thing with a big family, you know, with couples trying to talk to one another. A lot of you, you know, think about it when you had your kids. I mean, it wasn't an easy task at that particular time. So, you know, that's something that definitely keeps couples from communicating.
Bedtime works for the ladies.
Yes. That was from day one for me, so yes. Good, she's not in here today. But, right. I mean, if that's when it is, that's when it is. But, you know, we men have to be then open to that too. You know, even though you're shot, you're tired, you want to sleep, and she wants to talk. And we're going to hit that up today here. So, yeah, definitely. Anything else? Anybody else on that? Why couples don't communicate? There you go. Yeah, that's right. There's a guy that I work with right now. Him and his wife cross. She's working night shift. He's working day shift. Of course, though, he's working down with me now, so he doesn't see her the most of the week. But when they do, and she even works weekends, so they cross one another. So that's a tough situation. Work is a tough situation. That's right. Well, Proverbs 14:29 says, he that is slow to wrath and is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. First of all here, why when some people don't communicate is they blow up. And Proverbs there has some good verses here. Let's go over the verses first. Pastor, Proverbs 25:28. Mrs. Codner, Proverbs 16:32. Dan, Ecclesiastes 7:9. Let me give you one more here, Cindy. Matthew 2:16. So they while they're looking them verses up, what about yelling? Do you think that's something that's really good for couples? Why? Why isn't yelling a? I mean, man, you can get your thing, you can get your stuff across, can't you? You can get your communication across if you start yelling at one another. Now, it's not a good thing. Go ahead.
Well, usually when it escalates to that, and it does in the past, it, you say things you don't mean. Things aren't necessary. Those are the things that she remembers, and those are the things that I remember.
And that's one of the things here that we're going to hit. You bring it back up. Yeah. It is something. You need to, when you communicate, you need to communicate it. We're going to hit it here, telling the truth. Sometimes the truth hurts, but, you know, you got to tell the truth. And then only go so far on that. Don't keep hammering the nail to it. If you're going to put a nail in, don't keep hammering to it. And then, you know, you got to forget about it. But yeah, yelling rarely begets communication. It's no good at all. Believe me, anger starts and all that. Let's read these verses though first. There, Proverbs 25:28.
He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls.
See, he has no rule over his spirit. And you don't have no rule over your spirit when you start yelling. You get mad. You get angry. You know, you need to be wise about communication. Proverbs 16:32.
He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit, and he that taketh his city.
Slow to anger. Ecclesiastes 7:9.
Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools.
See, you're a fool when you get angry. The Bible tells you that. Matthew 2:16. Yes.
Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked by the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and set forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men.
See what happened to Herod there? A good example. He got ticked. He got mad because the wise men didn't come back and talk to him. So what's he decide to do? We're just going to kill all the small children. You know, that's what happens with anger. Let me show you another one here that talks about, you know, that you can tell that he was mad. He was angry. You know the account, Daniel 3, verses 19 to 25 I'm going to read to you. And you know the account. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. He was mad at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one of seven times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. These men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandments was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flames of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Right there, the king should have woke his eyes should have been opened up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't burnt or nothing before they were even put. But the men that were putting them in, it says, they were slew. They were burned up right there, that because of that fire that was that hot. But you know, he was mad. You know, he was upset, and so he decided he was going to do this. It says, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. So see there, you can see what happens when you get mad, you know. You get mad and you start yelling at one another, you get angry, and then what happens after anger? Most of the time, ladies, what does the men do? Or maybe you ladies do it. Silence. There's no more talking. You know, I'm going my way, you're going your way, you know. And that's what happens, you know. And silence isn't no good either. Proverbs 15:18. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. You see, silent anger and silence, you know, there's just two things there that's not very good. Proverbs 26:21 says, as coals of fire are to the burning, as coals are to the burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. See, so that adds fuel to the fire there, you know, also by doing some of these different aspects. Proverbs 29:22 says, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. So, you know, just some things here that, you know, if you start yelling, you know, you need to stop it. There's only one time you need to yell. What time when do you think that is? When? When the house is on fire. Exactly right. That's the only time you need to yell. If there's any kind of danger, house is on fire, something like that. That's the only time. Other than that, you know, you need to stop it. And stop it quickly. Proverbs 17:14 says, the beginning of strife is when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it meddleth with. So, you know, stop it. You know, if need be, stop the discussion for a little while. Stop talking for a little while. If you feel you're getting angry, just stop talking for a little while. Go cool off. That's what we need to do, men. We need to cool off. Ladies, same thing. You know, if you know there's something that touches the man off, don't keep badgering him about it, because it just makes it worse. Let him alone. Let it alone. Go cool off, but come back then and continue the discussion since you cooled off then. You know, and it's something that you need. Solve the problem as you're going through it, but cool off. You know, cool off. So, like I say, one of the things, the first thing here that I had down here was they blow up. That's something that happens. The second thing here is when some people try to communicate, they clam up or they trip their wife. I'm kidding. I'm gonna have to keep bringing that one up. I thought that was pretty cool, Pastor. You did pretty good there, but I'm not on his side now. Okay, so they clam up, and this is something that is definitely contrary to Scripture. Let's see who I left. Corby, go to Ephesians 4:15, and Natalie, Romans 12:9, and Van, would you go to 1 John 3:18? This is contrary to Scripture, and we need to speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4:15.
But speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him all things which is the head of Christ.
Romans 12:9. At 1 John 3:18, I think it is.
My little children, let us not love in word,
So we're to speak it in love, you know. Pastor, is it tough sometimes when you got to stand up here and speak the truth and you know that it's going to step on somebody's toes? I mean, it's kind of tough, isn't it? But you got to do it, right? You have to do it, you know. And couples, sometimes, you know, if one of the other is going to speak the truth to you and they step on your toes, don't clam up, don't blow up, you know, take it what the Bible says there. I mean, you got to speak it in truth, but you got to do it in love. Now, Pastor, if you stood up here like some preachers do and just hammered away and beat on the people and everything else, what do you think that you accomplished? Yeah, exactly right. That's just exactly what would happen. And that's the same thing as couples communicating. That's the same thing that will happen. You're going to shut the other person off. They're going to clam up. You know, they're not going to talk to you. They're not going to speak to you about it. You know, you can't do that. It's something that you can't do. You have to do it in love. That's what the Bible here is teaching. That's what it's all about, doing it in love. Problems driven underground have a way of festering and popping up again and later much more worse. That's just what we were talking about. Later on, you know, if you don't do it in love, later on it's going to be brought up to you once again. And it could be worse the next time that it's brought up to you. So you got to solve it. You got to solve it now. You got to solve it as soon as you possibly can. Silence is no solution, and it's a sorry defeat, you know. So, but like we were talking there, you know, you got to cool down, you got to talk about it, solve the problem, don't clam up, you know, as the Bible says here, and do it in love. You must do it in love is what we have to do. Questions or comments so far on any of this that you want to add to it? Okay, the next thing is here. Some people blow up when they try to communicate. Some people clam up when they try to communicate. And then this and here is which we just was talking about. When some people try to communicate, they cut up each other. They cut up each other. And that's a good one. It's a little man who wants to cut others down to size. Let me see here. I think I want to read that one. Let me look at this here once. Bunny, go to Luke 18:11. Danny, go to John 8:7-9. Let me go to this one here and here, Matthew 7. Matthew 7:3-5. You've heard this before. You know what it's all about. It says, And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eyes, but consider not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam that is in thine own eye, then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. What's he talking about there? Anybody? Right? There you go. Judge yourself first. Get the beam out of your own eye before you decide that you're going to do it to somebody else. Go ahead.
Dean, there seems to be a big controversy among, I hate to use the words fundamentalists and evangelicals, but it's where it is. The churches that maybe wouldn't, I don't know what to say, but the big thing is, oh, you can't judge. Well, and you know, I have one guy tell me that you got to get the beam out of your eye, but the beam would never be out of your eye. You just can't judge. Well, because nobody's perfect. That's not really what it's teaching there, is it? Mm-hmm. It's teaching that we need to have a right perspective on ourselves and judgment of ourselves, and then we can lovingly tell somebody. That's my take on it.
No, I think that's what he's talking about there. You know, get it right yourself first. Get yourself right first before that you can, you know, do any kind of judging. You know, amongst couples, get yourself right first, and then, you know, lovingly, you know, do it.
I'm not necessarily speaking of marriage.
No, I understand. Pastor, go ahead.
Well,
it's, you know, the part of the problem is that people will read that whole passage in Matthew 7. Because it says, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. It's the idea of being hypocritical. You know, I expect this of you, but
yeah.
I make exception to myself. You know, it says in Corinthians, either the spiritual judgeth all things.
Yeah, that's what it says.
So it's, yeah, there are certain things we should judge. And we need to judge. But we do need to, well, Galatians 6, I think it is, talks about the idea of, you know,
if you're going to read 6:1, you just wait on there. You just hang loose. And that was okay. You could go there, but I'm going to hit that here directly. Just what you're talking about there. Here's somebody here. Let me read this to you. You know this account. And I don't know if you ever thought of it this way or not. But here, look at David and Nathan. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Verse 1, let me read this to you. And the Lord said unto Nathan, sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, one rich, the other poor. The rich man exceedingly had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought up and nourished up, and grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat, and it did eat of his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was with was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spare to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, and took of the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. You see what he did there to him? He put it before him. Didn't realize that it was himself that did the sin. And he's telling him, you're the man. You're the one that needs to get it right. And see, that's what happens sometimes with communication with couples. The person that's doing most of the communicating probably needs to get the thing right himself first. And then he can communicate in love, like you were saying there before. But there's one incident. Let's see. Luke 18:11. See there? See there what he done? John 8:7-9.
So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the stone at her. And again he stooped down and laid on the ground, and they which heard it began being convicted of their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest.
Where were her accusers after Jesus said, you know, is there any sin among any of you? See there? That's what this whole thing here that we're talking about, you know, that this cutting up each other, you know, that couples get into. Some couples get into that, and they do that. And they both need to, you know, clean up their act, both of them, you know. I'm not saying that it's always one. I'm saying it can be. It takes two to tangle sometimes. And so, you know, that you both have to do that. And so, you know, clean up your own garbage before you try to clean out your wife's trash barrel. This is about men here now that we're talking about. But that's what this one got. That's what this guy said. If you're being criticized, try to listen with an open heart. Amy, Proverbs 13:18, Chad, Proverbs 12:1, and Mrs. Johnson, Proverbs 12:15. Proverbs 13:18 when you get there. Proverbs 12:1.
Whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge. But he that hateth reproof is brutish.
And Proverbs 12:15. So you got to be wise about this, you know, this criticizing one another, this cutting up on one another. You know, you need to be a wise person about the whole situation. You know, check out your own heart first before you decide to do that. And if you doubt the justice of criticism, check the matter out with an honest and spiritual friend. If you must criticize, do it in a scriptural way. Now, Pastor, I don't know if this is what you were thinking about here or not, but Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know, Moses was a man that was meek. He put up with a lot of stuff. He put up with being cut up and stuff all the time, even from his own sister, his own brother and sister, as a matter of fact. So, you know, he was a meek man. And that's what he's saying here. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou be also be tempted. So, you know, you can be tempted yourself if you're not spiritual and you're not doing it in meekness. Now, was that what you were thinking about? Okay. And 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, wherefore let a man that think he standeth take heed lest he fall. So, you know, criticizing, cutting one another up, you know, you have to be careful about it. Are you spiritual? Are you meek? Before you offer constructive criticism to your wife, find out how much do you really love her? You know, before you do this, men, how much do you really love her? Reprove only with great tenderness. Proverbs 18:19 says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. If you're going to reprove, if you're going to criticize, make sure you're right first yourself, and then do it in tenderness, do it in love, you know, if you're going to do that. Let me read this saying to you. To keep your marriage brimming with love in the loving cup, when you're wrong, admit it. When you're right, shut up. I like that. Some man named Nash wrote that. And that was pretty good. For criticism to be constructive, two things are necessary: a wise reprover and an obedient ear. Proverbs 25:12. Lots of verses here I looked up. 25:12. And as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. And Proverbs 9:8 says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. That's pretty good. Rebuke a wise man, and he's going to love you. That is a wise man. He's not going to come back at you. He's not going to criticize you. He's not going to cut you up or anything like that. Questions or comments on that one? Okay. When people try to communicate, both parties should lovingly speak up. Lovingly speak up. 1 Peter chapter 3. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. Know ye that knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Men, you're to be wise. You're to be wise when you speak up in love to your wife, because as she's the weaker vessel. You have to understand that. You have to be wise about that. You have to, and that's a duty that you have, you know. You have to be wise. You have to have wisdom whenever you start speaking up to them and being loving to them. You're to honor your wife with all tenderness because she is the weaker vessel. Tender love and affection and affectionate honor must be rendered to the queen of the little kingdom of the home, through whom God blesses the household so much. You know, men, it is the wife that blesses the household. She's the one that keeps that household going. You're not there all day. She's the one that keeps the things going, especially you ones that have bigger families and stuff. She's the one that keeps that household going. You older ones, who was the one that kept the household going when you were out working? Your job wasn't responsibility was to take care of the family, but her job and responsibility was to take care of the home. And that's what she was doing. And God blesses through that, you know, of the wife doing that. And that's why you should do that in love. You need to communicate in love with the wife. Now, there was what keeps couples from communicating, some things that keeps couples from communicating. We give you four different things there. Now, men, oh, I hate that. Get into this and hear one here. This is a tough one. How to communicate with your wife. How do you do that? Come on, some of you experienced ones. Go ahead. I might as well say this right now while I have it on my mind and just get it out of there, you know. Men, how many times have you asked yourself the question, how did God ever make her? Why did he make her like she is? She's not like us. What's going on, you know? But you do ask yourself some questions like that. Well, how do you communicate with your wife? Number one, listen. Listen, men. You have to listen to her. Proverbs 29:11. Proverbs 29:11 says, "A fool uttereth his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards." You have to listen to her. Under listen here, the first thing here is you have to keep your ears open. Keep your ears open. Proverbs 18:13. Proverbs 18:13. "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him." Is there times, men, whenever you want to answer before she even has it all out, you already know what you're going to say? Not a good thing. You find that out. Yeah, how many of you found that out already? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've never found that out, you know. You've got to let her speak. Get it out. Let her get it out, you know. When God gave you only one mouth but two ears, he was trying to tell you something. Keep your ears open and your mouth shut. That's what he wants. That's why he did that, you know. Don't think about what you want to say next. Concentrate on what your wife is saying now and draw her out. Draw her out. Help her draw it out. Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25 says, "Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out." Men, have you ever gone through the situation where she wants to tell you something, but she's beating around the bush, She's not bringing it out. You know when my wife likes to bring stuff out? Around the kids. She'll say, oh, yeah, by the way, I put a dent in the car. Huh. I wonder why she does that. Wait till one of the kids are around or something like that. And by the way, I put a dent in the car, you know. That's not a good thing. But, you know, she kind of beats around the bush, and you finally, a wise man, you'll draw her out. Okay, honey, now what is the problem here? Say it. Get it out. Come on, you know, draw her out. A wise man, get her to draw out. Go ahead, Ben. Oh, I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's right. And you need to help her draw it out. You know, you, if you're wise, you will help her to draw it out, what she wants to speak to you, you know, what she's going to say to you.
But are you ever afraid of what she might say to you?
Well, I guess. You know, like I say, you know, I've always, like my wife putting a dent in the car. I've never chewed her out or anything like that. I just tell her, you know, I got you something decent, and I'll take care of it. And then all of a sudden, she puts a dent in it or something, you know, or scratch. My Suzuki, I got her, and I said, now take it easy with this car, honey. Don't do nothing to it. So, and not too long after that, there's this great big scratch on the rear bumper. And she don't say nothing to me about it. And I see this, and I said, what did you do?
Was it within 12 hours of her getting
it? No, it wasn't quite that. But I said, what did you do?
Just
what are you trying to say, Paul? Spit it out.
Well, did she back into a pole? That's what my wife did. She didn't tell me. Well, anyhow, you know, you just have to draw her out there and get her to speak it out, you know, and be calm about it, you know. It's just a scratch, you know. And I mean, I can fix them, you know. Some of you, I know you can't do it, but I can fix them. So, and I think that's why she don't care, because I think, oh yeah, he'll fix it, he'll take care of it. Yeah, right. But anyhow, you know. So, you got to keep your ears open and your mouth shut. You have to listen. The next thing here under listen, you know, you got to keep your heart open. Ron, would you go to James 1, read verses 19 and 20, please? Keep your heart open. James 1, 19 and 20. So you got to be slow. You got to keep your heart open. Keep it open. Keep quiet, and men, keep cool. That's what the Bible's telling you there to do. You know, keep your heart open when you're listening. You know, don't be blowing up right away before she even gets it all out. You know, this is just part of the communication part here that we're talking about. So the first thing here is how to communicate with your wife. Listen. The next thing here, understand. Sometimes that's a tough one for some men, you know, to understand. Some men, they don't want to understand. Proverbs 18:2 says, "A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself." And Proverbs 14:33 says, "Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known." So you have to understand. Ask yourself, men, Is this the real problem, or is there something else? This is especially important if there is no reason for the storm or if her feelings are out of proportion to difficulty. Now, man, you got to understand a woman. I can't explain it to you. But anyhow, there's times where, you know, that you just have to be understanding. There's times where she has, you know, she has her monthly thing that they're just not right. There's times whenever there's, now I'm trying to be serious. I'm trying to be serious about this, guys. There's times whenever she starts going through the change of life, some of you have already gone through some of that already. You've got to be understanding. It's tough. Man, you haven't gone through this is what I get all the time, and I'm just going to give it to you. You haven't gone through this stuff, so you don't understand. And so you don't understand. And they're right about that. You don't understand. You're a man. She's a woman. You know, her body changes. Everything changes in her body, you know, and things like that there. You know, when they're having children, things change in their body. You know, you've got to understand. You just have to understand them things. You have to ask yourself, what does my wife need from me now? A solution, help, sympathy, reassurance, praise. Give her what she needs. You know, sometimes just praising your wife, I mean, everything just goes away. You know, just praise her a little bit. You know, help her out that way, man. This is for the man right now. So, women, your time's coming here, but this is for the man. You know, you have to praise her. You know, just praise her, give her some reassurance. You know, sometimes she needs sympathy. Just give her sympathy. It's fine. It's fine to do that, men. It's fine to do that. That's part of the understanding process. That's part of a wise man. You know, being that way. You have to do these kind of things. So you have to listen. You have to understand. I'm not going to start this next one because there's too much in it, because there's a lot here. So listen and understanding to communicate with your wife. Questions or comments on anything here before I quit? Go ahead.
So when she needs pamper, do you keep diapers on her?
I'd hate to see what would happen if you brought out a diaper. I really would. I would hate to see it. Corby, I really would hate to see it. You've been wound up here today pretty good, so. But anyhow. Wise man, yeah. Mum's the word, yeah. I thought Ben was going to really get himself in here a little bit ago. I was going to tell him, now you got to calm down here a little bit, Ben. But I think it's all right, so. Now, you go ahead, Bunny. Sure. Now, I can say it. She's not in here. My wife expects me to fix it constantly, all the time, right away, right now, you know, and I just can't do that. Anything else on that? I mean, it's just part of communication between couples, you know, that we're talking about here.
But as like Van, you know, he wanted to fix it, but things are so big that you can't fix them, and so I get frustrated, and she doesn't. I really believe it. She doesn't want me to fix it. She just wants me to listen.
Yeah.
We're going to do this thing, you know, and I make some hasty decision that's not thought through. ended up just upset her more because it was, and so, but you feel that weight of responsibility. Well, then I got to do something here. Well, maybe I don't, you know, and so I understand, and I needed that today.
Dan.
There is a list.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, listen. You're not in. You're not the only one. We're all in the same boat. You know.
I think that a wife could help the husband a little bit by practicing. Sometimes, I mean, if, you know, it requires the man to think.
Mm-hmm.
About, and I don't say that jokingly. I mean, you got to think about what does she, what is she trying to say? Is this something that I just need to listen to? And you know, I respond. Because I love her and I care about her, and I'm trying to solve the problem, and that's what we're all men are trying to do.
Yeah.
But that's short-sighted. You know, the reality is sometimes they just want you to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And I've known that for years, and I still can't. I still sometimes, maybe most of the time, don't respond right. And the wife could help by saying, "I just want you to." And they aren't good at doing that. Okay, so we're both not good at what we need to be doing. And
communicate. Yeah, that's right. That's what it's all about.
We had something this morning that was, you know, it was a simple thing. It wasn't an arduous thing that I was burdened about. It was just a simple thing. And boy, I came with a solution right away. Now, it wasn't necessarily the best solution because that wasn't. From there, it developed into more of I can't do this because of that. You know. It just, in other words, if I had just shut up and listened.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess my point is that the other spouse, whichever way it's going, the other spouse, there's some tools they can use too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's it.
I think we as wives expect our husbands to be girlfriends. Because you can talk to a girlfriend about maybe a problem, and they'll go, "Oh yeah, I have," you know, and they sympathize with you. Or it's not going to happen with your husband.
Go ahead, Van. You can read. You can. You
can say something.
Sure.
Come to a point of realization that we can't in and of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we, even though we go in and make that immediate decision and do things, it's because we can create more problems than what we start out with.
Usually we do.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what we do. Yeah. Oh, we do. Sure. One more here. Okay, I'll get you yet, then her. Go ahead.
I think that one thing I think is, one is a physical thing. We want you to fix it. When my washing machine is broken, I want it fixed, and the sooner the better. When it is an emotional or a relational thing, we want you to listen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll stop right there. Lord, I thank and praise you for this time. I thank you for this day. Thank you, Father, for having us be able to talk here about what your Bible says about communicating with one another. And help us, Father, especially us men there, Lord, to be the men that we need to be wise about the things that we communicate with our wives, and how that we can be able to help them more, and help us to understand when it's time to listen, when it's time to open our ears and hear, help us to do that, Father. When it's time to open our heart to them, let us do that, Father. So we just hold that before you and ask, Lord, that you would just help us to be these kind of men, these wise men that you talk about. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.